On the other hand, 4 points in particular in the previous engaging and thoughtful article caught our attention, on which we tender some suggestions. 1. Hebrews 6:17 speaks of God confirming his purpose by an oath, singular. Paul has in mind the oath in Genesis 22:16, when God swore by himself that he would fulfill his covenant with Abraham. Of course, any covenant given by God, whether sworn or not, would be inviolable, immutable. But, as Paul observed, God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. By this means God condescended to grant Abraham the kind of assurance customary among men, Hebrews 6:16. Thus, by two immutable things, God's covenant and now his oath, the matter is doubly attested. 2. 2 Samuel 7:10-16 records a promise God gave to King David, which is summarized in verse 16. Thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. Specifically, God assures him that unlike the case of Saul, whose disobedience led to the rending of the kingdom away from his line, this would not be so with David's posterity. If his son was wayward, he would be chastened, but David's line would not lose the right of the kingdom. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before me. Verses 14 and 15. So it was with Solomon. That this is the meaning of 2 Samuel 7:14 through 16 seems apparent also from the reference to this passage in Psalm 89:30 through 33, which expresses the same thought. If his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, then will I visit their transgression with a rod, and their iniquity with stripes. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him. The rendering of the passage in 2 Samuel from the Fenton Version modifies the language to avoid the words iniquity, rods, or stripes, as applied to the son of David. Presumably, this is because Fenton recognized that the Son of David has an important fulfillment in Jesus, as Hebrews 1:5 attests. And of course, Jesus had no iniquity. It is an understandable attempt, but it violates the evident sense as determined by most translations, and by the parallel passage in Psalm 89. A better reconciliation is to recognize that this prophecy, as others in Holy Writ, are composed so as to describe both an immediate fulfillment, Solomon, and a later fulfillment, Jesus. In this case, the solution was to use the conditional if he commit iniquity. Solomon did, Christ did not. 3. 2 Samuel 7:19 uses the expression, the manner of man, for which the article proposes the Torah of humanity. This seems a confusing term. When we hear the word Torah, we naturally think of the 5 books of Moses, which did not apply to humanity, but to Israel. It is not what verse 19 refers to. The word manner is number 8452 in Strong's Concordance, which says, probably feminine of 8448, a custom. The rendering of the phrase is variable according to translation. If the King James Version is correct, then it is part of a rhetorical question by King David, in awe of the scope of God's promises, as though to recognize how much grander are God's promises than those customary among men. For other options, see the New American Standard Bible, NIV, and Rotherham. Number 4. The expression sure mercies of David comes from Isaiah 55:3. It applies to the promises of God to David about his throne, which endures forever through Jesus, the Son of David. The expression is cited in Acts 13:34, about the resurrection of Christ, when he entered into his heavenly reward and inherited the throne of David. But Jesus will have fellow heirs of this throne, whom he will grant to sit with me in my throne, Revelation 3:21. Thus, the sure mercies of David apply also to the followers of Christ, who share his throne. See also the question book, What Pastor Russell Said, page 192.